This is the Quality News Network. The House of Representatives passed a bill today that would make private security... This is the Quality News Network. The House of This is the Quality News Network. The House of Representatives passed a bill today that would make private security contractors such as Blackwater subject to prosecution in U.S. courts for incidents that occur overseas. The Senate plans to vote on similar legislation. The White House is denying a secret Justice Department opinion from 2005 that authorized the use of painful physical and psychological tactics against terror suspects. The White House press secretary said, quote, "This country does not torture," end quote. In Minneapolis, the judge in the Senator Larry Craig bathroom sex sting case has refused to allow the Republican senator to withdraw his guilty misdemeanor plea. Craig's lawyers had argued that he panicked and was rushed into the guilty plea. However, the judge said the plea was accurate, intelligent, and voluntary, and thus did not allow it to be withdrawn. The latest AP Ipsos poll finds that 31% of those surveyed approve of President Bush's job performance, while 22% approve of how Congress is doing its job. Both of those numbers are record lows for the poll. State media in Myanmar reports that the head of the country's military told a UN envoy that he is willing to meet with the opposition leader. However, she must agree to several conditions first. Those include giving up her calls for sanctions against the government. The two leaders of North and South Korea have agreed to come up with a new peace treaty that will replace the 1953 ceasefire. The two countries have also pledged to increase projects that will reduce tensions between them. According to the Washington Post, Iraq's president said his country has ordered $100 million worth of weaponry from China because the U.S. is unable to meet Baghdad's needs. The weapons will be used to arm the Iraqi police force. In South Africa, the last of the 3,200 trapped gold miners have been rescued after an underground elevator accident. They were trapped more than a mile underground. A cargo plane crashed in a residential neighborhood near Congo's capital today. At least 25 people were killed, and several homes were destroyed in the fire that followed. New Mexico Senator Pete Domenici, a Republican, will announce today that he will retire when his term ends next year. The 75-year-old senator is expected to cite health reasons for his decision. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Did you know 1 billion adults around the world cannot read? Two-thirds are women, many prohibited from learning. The rate of illiteracy is declining, but the number who can't read has been increasing. These are more than just numbers, they're people. They're your friends, neighbors, and even your family. Consider these numbers. In America, if you didn't speak English in your home, you're 44% more likely to be reading below the most basic level. If you didn't complete high school, the chances are good that you can't read. 85% of prisoners are illiterate, as are the kids who wind up in juvenile court. Here are the facts. If you can read, you can learn, get a better job, and make more money. If you can't read, you can't learn, you can't find a good job, you can't make a decent living. Choose smart. Learn to read. If you're out of school, find a literacy program through your local library.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
Several scientists will declare today that pregnant and breastfeeding women should eat some seafood, about 12 ounces a week, because it helps their baby's brain development. That goes against federal advice that new mothers should avoid seafood because of possible mercury contamination. The FDA plans to speed up the approval of generic drugs, which are cheaper than brand-name drugs. There is a backlog of hundreds of applications waiting for approval. The FDA also hopes to hire additional employees to help review those generic drug applications. The Labor Department reports that the number of workers filing unemployment benefit claims last week went up by 16,000 to a four-month high of 317,000. The increase was higher than analysts had expected. The Commerce Department reports that in August, U.S. factory orders dropped by 3.3%, which is the largest decline in 7 months. There was a big drop-off in commercial aircraft orders. Gold is trading at $743.80 an ounce. Light sweet crude is currently trading at $81.44 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones is up 5 points at 13,973. The NASDAQ is up 4 points, and the S&P 500 is up 3 points. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Bramoff.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. Today, we've got a bunch of odds and ends, different stories that I wanted to bring up that I haven't had a chance to, because each one of them isn't really big enough, but they're all very important stories. And, of course, I want to encourage you to call in and suggest things of your own. The biggest news is, of course, that the Democratic Congress has passed a bill to make Blackwater and other U.S. mercenaries subject to prosecution. You may recall yesterday I had Mike Lane on the show, and he was saying that, well, you know, it's just that's not the law. It's not the law. If Congress wants to change the law, they can change the law and actually hold people who kill people accountable. One of the things that our people in Iraq, and Paul Bremer, did when we were in charge of the country is we made sure that our people could never be prosecuted under Iraqi law, even if they murder somebody. And so now, good for Congress. The Democrats led the vote, and it passed by an overwhelming margin. What did the White House say? Quote, the White House said the bill would have, quote, unintended and intolerable consequences for crucial and necessary national security activities and operations, unquote. Intolerable consequences for crucial national security activities. We need to have the right to have unaccountable people doing things in the country. Now, right now, the military is supposed to be accountable. We have, as I mentioned yesterday, the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So why is it vital to our national security to have 100,000 people in a foreign country able to do whatever they want at will? For example, there's the guy at Blackwater that shot, whether accidentally or not, I don't know, he was drunk at the time, shot a guard of one of Iraq's vice presidents. He'd left a Christmas Eve party drunk and, oops, shot somebody. Well, his fate was similar to that of Dick Cheney, who shot his lawyer. Actually, Dick Cheney got off lighter. This contractor was fired and fined and returned home to the United States, but no charges have been filed. Had he been in the United States, of course, and accidentally shot someone, if he weren't the vice president, there would be justice. Because criminal negligence is a crime. When you accidentally shoot someone, it is a crime, even if our vice president doesn't have to pay the consequences. And if he were in Iraq, an Iraqi, he would be under Iraqi law. If he were an Iraqi in America, he would be under American law. But somehow an American in Iraq, if you're not part of the military, there are no consequences. So even though you're getting paid five or six or seven times what our military is being paid, at the same time, you can basically do whatever you want with abandon. We've already discussed how there's no oversight, how the Pentagon isn't watching you, how Congress is not being allowed to watch you. Its CEO and others are saying, Congress, shut up, go away, don't look here. So the Democrats turned around and said, fine, we are going to pass a bill that says you are subject to prosecution in U.S. courts. Maybe not Iraqi courts, because we don't know what's going to happen to that country. But if you shoot 11 innocent people dead, guess what? No more impunity. It'll be interesting when Bush vetoes this, just as he vetoed the state children's health insurance program a couple days ago, making sure that Bob Kincaid's kids won't have health care. He's going to veto this one as well. Crucial to our national security. Despite the fact that people in the military have to follow certain codes, it's absolutely essential that we have these cowboys that have no codes whatsoever. I'd like to see him defend that one. Well, I'm sure he will. Other news, I want to talk about that one because it happened today. There's a very interesting letter that I encourage you to take a look at from the House Judiciary Committee, the former committee that I used to serve, to Alberto Gonzalez. This is July 17th letter. He's no longer the Attorney General, but they finally released the letter, talking about the details of the fired prosecutors. Pat Leahy, Senator, who is head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, has said that he's going to give Mukasey, the federal judge who's replacing Gonzalez, he's going to give him a hearing. And Mukasey does seem to be, though, a right-wing judge, at least someone who is willing sometimes to tell the Republicans no, which is why he's expected to be easily confirmed. But Leahy wanted to look into more details into the prosecutor scandal. He wanted the administration not to stonewall him. And at the hearings on Mukasey's confirmation, you can expect that one of the questions that Leahy is going to ask is, will the Attorney General follow the law, which says that when Congress holds someone in contempt, they prosecute the person and round them up and put them in a D.C. jail? Or is this next Attorney General going to follow the former Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez, and say, you know what, screw you, Congress. You hold someone in contempt, we don't give a damn. Even though the law says we have to comply, we won't, because we don't follow the law. Because we take an oath to uphold the law, but that, what that really means is we take an oath of complete loyalty to the president. Instead of loyalty to the Constitution, it's Heil Bush. We will do whatever our Führer says. It'll be very, very interesting to see if Mukasey decides to actually follow the law for a change. He's been a federal judge. You'd think he'd have some respect for the law, including the law that says that Congress can hold people in contempt when they refuse to provide information to various oversight committees. Well, in this letter from the House Judiciary Committee to Attorney General, former Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, they talk about a study, an academic study, by Professors Shields and Cragen. And in this study, the professors found that during the Bush administration, there were 375 investigations or indictments of candidates and elected officials. Now, during this time, as you well know, the Republicans were full of scandal. You had Duke Cunningham. You had Bob Ney. You had Senator Ted Stevens. You had Doolittle. You had a whole host, Mark Foley, a whole host of office holders that were corrupt, that were taking money, taking bribes, or trying to diddle little boys. Whatever it is, you had a whole host of Republican corruption, and we had one major Democratic corruption, and that, of course, was William Jefferson, the guy with $90,000 in his freezer. But given that the Republicans were in power, it only makes sense that most of the corruption was on the Republican end. They're the ones who can influence things in the years of this study, and therefore they're the ones more likely to take a bribe. There's a reason why I can give a whole long list of Republican names full of corruption, and I can only name one, and that's because federal office holders in a government controlled by the Republican Party at all levels are more likely to be corrupt for Republicans. So you would expect there would be more cases brought against Republicans, maybe 2-1, let's say, Republicans to Democrats. You'd be wrong. Of the 375 cases brought against federal candidates or elected officials since 2001, 67 involved Republicans, 10 independents, and 298 were Democrats. 300-60, five times the number of Democrats were prosecuted as Republicans, even though Republicans were in power. And there's a reason why you've heard of all the egregious cases, save one, were Republicans. Well, the House Judiciary Committee comes to the same conclusion that the defense attorneys came to, which is that people were prosecuted because they were Democrats. And indeed, virtually everyone knew it. And I'll give you some examples of that right after the break. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back. Good day.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of 6 or 7 different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Lots of different odds and ends today, and if you have something that you want to bring up, just feel free to call 877-4-HEAD-ON. Right now, I'm reading from a really fascinating letter that has just been made public and was sent by the House Judiciary Committee, my former haunt, on July 17th to then-Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez. And it details 3 cases. After noting that Democrats are about 5-1 more likely to be prosecuted by the federal government, even during a time when Republicans are in charge, and even during a time when, if you just look at, say, members of Congress, there's about 10-1 in the ratio of corrupt Republicans to corrupt Democrats. But they mentioned 3 specific cases, and they're 3 cases that you should know well. If any time people say, well, you know, the prosecutors, that wasn't really political, and they need to just go ahead and approve the next attorney general and get on with it, then you have to know about Alabama's former governor, a Democrat, Don Siegelman, whose main crime appears to be he was a Democrat. In November 2002, he lost the governor's race by 3,000 votes, the closest governor election in Alabama state history, and he was seeking a recount. And at that time, a man by the name of Bill Canary said that Karl Rove had spoken with the Department of Justice in order to get the Department of Justice to pursue Don Siegelman. So they're up for a recount, and Karl Rove knows that Siegelman might win, so he decides to go to the Department of Justice. Now, who is Bill Canary? Well, he's married to Laura Canary, who was appointed by Bush to be the U.S. Attorney in the Middle District of Alabama. And that office indicted Siegelman in 05, just in time to prevent him from running again. And who's the one who said, who testified that Karl Rove was out to get Siegelman? Well, none other than a Republican attorney in Alabama who worked for Siegelman's opponent. He said it in an affidavit. Now, why would a Republican who worked for Siegelman's opponent swear in an affidavit that a protege of Karl Rove told a small group of Republican political operatives that Rove was working to take care of Siegelman, and that that protege was married to the very person that President Bush appointed to do just that? Well, the only explanation is that it's true. After all, this kind of thing certainly doesn't help Siegelman's opponent. It's just that this Republican decided to tell the truth. In any case, you should know that this terrible indictment against this terrible governor for bribery, conspiracy, and mail fraud, you should know that in 04, charges were dropped by the U.S. attorney before the case went to trial after the judge harshly rebuked prosecutors bringing the case. And in the RICO case filed thereafter in trying to take down Mr. Siegelman, there have been allegations of jury tampering. This and other irregularities, according to the House Judiciary Committee, caused 44 former state attorneys general, 44, to sign a petition urging the U.S. Congress to investigate the circumstances of the prosecution of Don Siegelman. But that's probably not the worst case. Now, the worst case is probably that of a certain Georgia Thompson, a woman who in Wisconsin was in charge of procuring things, you know, what the government was buying. And she's a career civil servant, and she had to hire a travel agency. Now, you remember what a huge deal the Republicans made out of the fact that Hillary Clinton happened to change the travel agent back in the 90s. They called it Travelgate, as if the fact that Hillary Clinton wanted a new travel agent was somehow a severe crime. Certainly much more serious than perhaps, Duke Cunningham's taking bribes. Well, Ms. Thompson awarded a contract to a travel agency whose director was a political contributor to the governor. Okay. She had no idea that it was a political contributor because the travel agency that won the award, guess what, submitted the lowest bid. They had the cheapest price. And they tied for first place on the merit score that ranked all contract bidders. And there's no evidence she knew who they were contributing to. So she gave a contract to the lowest bid. Well, that clearly alarmed Republicans because they never give contracts to the lowest bid. They give them to their political contributors. People, corporations like Halliburton, people like Ken Lay, who never submit low bids. But the prosecutor there, Stephen Biskupic, a Republican, decided not to go after Ms. Thompson. And so his name appeared on a list of attorneys that had to be replaced. He was replaced. A new one came in. She was then indicted. And after that, the governor's Republican opponent seized on that and said, aha, there's proof that the governor is corrupt. His state procurement office chose a travel agent who had once been a political contributor, even though, as I said, you know, they gave the lowest bid and there was no evidence of it. They did their best to use it in the political campaign. This time it did not work, and the Court of Appeals overturned her conviction, saying no crime had been committed, declared her innocent, wouldn't even send it back to the court. But, of course, the political damage had been done. Since April, the Senate and House Judiciary Committees have been trying to get the documents on the connection between the prosecution of Ms. Georgia Thompson in Wisconsin and White House personnel. And, oh, they just can't find the documents. It's 6 months. But, quote, processing the Thompson documents would require an extensive commitment of resources and time, they wrote in May of 07. There were communications, but, you know, we just can't find them. Still no information on that. The list goes on and on. You really should read it for yourself. But the point is, if there were ever any doubt that Karl Rove was the guy behind these prosecutors being fired, just read the letter. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And if they had nothing to hide, they would certainly turn over the documents. Another topic I want to talk about today is our old friend Clarence Thomas. Now, if you heard my show, The Fine Wine of Clarence Thomas, you know I am not very sympathetic to the man who was so upset when he was confirmed to be Supreme Court Justice that when his wife told him, hey, you've been confirmed to a lifelong position as one of the most powerful men in the United States, where you can hold people's lives in your hands and crush them. What did Thomas say when he learned of his confirmation? Quote, whoop-de-damn-doo, unquote. Because he was so upset that Anita Hill had fingered him for being someone who sexually harassed her. Now, I don't know whether someone who hadn't done anything wrong would have been as upset as Clarence Thomas was. Perhaps someone who hadn't done anything wrong and had no guilty conscience would have said, look, this is ridiculous. I don't know who's making up these charges, but they're absolutely not true. And, you know, who knows? But if there were ever any doubt about Thomas, I want to give you some more facts, and I'm grateful to Ruth Marcus, who wrote an editorial, an op-ed for the Washington Post called One Angry Man. Either Thomas is lying, or a Yale Law School classmate by the name of Susan Hirchner, a friend by the name of Ellen Wells, a lawyer by the name of John Carr, an American University law professor by the name of Joel Paul, an EEOC employee by the name of Angela Wright, they're all lying. As is Rose Jordan, speechwriter, Sukari Hardnett, James Millett, June Meyer, Jill Abramson, Henry Terry, and Fred Cook. They're all lying too. And I need to add, the other liars, if Thomas is telling the truth, would include the two people at Yale Law School, the one professor who told me that Thomas ran the First Amendment Society, which means he ran dirty movies in the Yale Law basement, and also concurrent Second Circuit Judge Guido Calabresi, who told me that he believed Anita Hill, based on what he knew of this shy, demure woman, she would never in a million years make up such racy allegations if she were not forced to tell the truth, because it's illegal to lie to a police officer, and then forced to tell the truth under oath. This is not a woman who talks about sex. So for her to do this, wrenching, and remember, she, whatever happened to Anita Hill, I don't know. She certainly didn't get a berth on the United States Supreme Court. It was her who was the victim in these matters. But when I come back from break, I just want to give you enough of the facts. And again, I'm thankful to Ruth Marcus. I'd known of some of these, but I didn't know of all of them. I want to give you enough of the witnesses, enough of the facts, so that no one ever suggests to you that Clarence Thomas is telling the truth on this matter. I'll give you all the details when we come back. 877-4-HEAD-ON. We'll be right back after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University. and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. I just got around to reading Barack Obama's DePaul University speech, and I gotta say, I was impressed. For instance, with his critique of those who got us into the Iraq War in the first place, not just Bush, but the media that too often reported spin instead of facts. Not just Bush, said Obama, but a foreign policy elite that largely boarded the bandwagon for war. Not just Bush, said Obama, but members of Congress who gave the president a blank check and then acted surprised when he cashed it. Hillary Clinton and John Edwards, that darts for you. Like Edwards now, Obama vowed to end the war and to begin to remove our troops from Iraq immediately, promising to have all combat troops out within 16 months. That's way too long. Here Obama isn't showing great leadership. But he did show it when he echoed Denis Kucinich's call for a world in which there are no nuclear weapons, and when he pledged to work with Russia to take our missiles off hair trigger alert. And good on Obama, too, for rejecting torture without exception or equivocation in a week when we learned yet again that the Bush administration embraces torture, making exception and equivocation the rule. We have an imperial presidency, Obama noted, and the Constitution is treated like a nuisance. He couldn't be more right about that. Oh, I've got my problems with Obama, his endless talk about turning the page, his oft-recited ode to hope, his fantasy of bipartisanship, all strike me as vacuous. But in this speech, at least, he started to fill that void with some real substance. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. To request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K, and Shears, S-H-E-A-R-S. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. When I did my show, The Fine Wine of Clarence Thomas, I didn't have a chance to give you all the evidence, and I'd really want to do that because, well, no one should doubt who was telling the truth in that matter. And the gall, the chutzpah, the audacity of this man, a United States Supreme Court Justice for life, someone who declared under penalty of perjury that Anita Hill was lying, and as far as I'm concerned, he should still be prosecuted for that perjury, listen to the evidence that so few Americans know that she was telling the truth. First of all, you should know that Thomas said that if I had done this to her, she would have complained loudly and instantly, not waited for a decade to make her displeasure known. Well, here's what Thomas doesn't tell you. Witness one, Susan Hertzner, a Yale Law School classmate of Hill's, described how she complained of sexual harassment while working for Thomas, saying the EEOC chairman had repeatedly asked her out, but wouldn't seem to take no for an answer. Witness two, Ellen Wells, a friend, said Hill came to her deeply troubled, quote, and very depressed, unquote, with complaints about Thomas and his inappropriate behavior. Witness number three, John Carr, a lawyer, said that Hill confided in him in tears that, quote, her boss was making sexual advances toward her, unquote. All right? While working there. Oh, and there's number four, currently law professor of American University, Joel Paul, said Hill told him in 1987 that she left the EEOC because she had been sexually harassed by her supervisor. Waited 10 years? Not according to Susan Hirchner, Ellen Wells, John Carr, and Joel Paul. These are all lawyers, by the way, people who can be disbarred for dishonesty. All right? You can be disbarred under our different legal regimes just for saying something like this, for falsely accusing someone. You can also be sued for libel, by the way. I don't expect Thomas to do that. So she's in tears. In tears! Hardly making it up. That's four witnesses. Then there's witness five. You know that when you have a sexually harassing boss, it's rarely just one woman. And, of course, we know that former EEOC employee Angela Wright was due to testify. They never got around to her. She described how, quote, Thomas pressured her to date him, showed up uninvited at her apartment, and asked her breast size. Showed up uninvited at her apartment, stalking her. Who ever heard of a boss who wanted to date you showing up uninvited at your apartment? Particularly one who's head of the EEOC, which is supposed to enforce sexual harassment laws. This is a man who knows the law. He would say to Angela Wright, and this is a direct quote, "You know, you need to be dating me. You're one of the finest women I have on my staff." Wright's account is corroborated by witness number six, Rose Jourdain, a former speechwriter who was dismissed by Thomas. Jourdain said Wright complained she was, quote, increasingly nervous about being in his presence alone, unquote, because of comments concerning, quote, her figure, her body, her breasts, her legs, unquote. Now, this is interesting because I was at Yale Law School during this time, and we studied the sexual harassment laws, the famous case of Michelle Vinson, which established these sexual harassment laws. I guarantee you that an intelligent man like Clarence Thomas, who's running a department in charge with enforcing sexual harassment laws, knows the law. That's witness number six. Then let's listen to witness number seven, Sukari Hardnett, another former Thomas employee. Quote, according to Sukari Hardnett, if you were young, black, female, and reasonably attractive, you knew full well you were being inspected and auditioned as a female, unquote. Just like all of us knew about Mark Foley, who worked on the Hill. There's more. It's not just those seven. You know, of course, about the infamous incident in which Thomas, drinking a soda, asked, "Who put pubic hair on my Coke?" It's one of those things that sticks out in the brain as something that's so weird, so strange. It's not even the worst thing someone could say. If you were going to make up an allegation about someone doing sexual harassing things, you wouldn't come up with pubic hair on a Coke can. You might come out with, okay, he tried to date me, or he followed me to my house. But pubic hair on a Coke can? It just sounded too weird to be made up. Well, according to witness number eight, James Millett, a college classmate of Thomas's, he recalled an almost identical episode at Holy Cross. An almost identical episode with Thomas and pubic hair and Coke? How often does that occur? I mean, I know when I'm drinking Coke, I'm always looking out for pubic hair. Or we could listen to witnesses 8 and 9. Have I gotten the numbers right? Have I lost them? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Excuse me, 9 and 10. Jane Meyer and Jill Abramson, the authors of Sound Justice, because they found two other witnesses who recalled a pubic hair Coke can comment at the EEOC. Two more witnesses that specifically recall pubic hair and Coca-Cola. It wasn't even Pepsi. If those 10 witnesses aren't enough, and the two witnesses I've cited from my time at Yale Law School are not enough. Then you should know about law school classmate Henry Terry. Listening to her, Henry Terry said, it was as if I was listening to the guy I knew speak, referring to the kind of pornography that he knew Thomas liked. And finally, witness number 12, making it a complete dozen, Washington lawyer Fred Cook, who saw Thomas, while EEOC chairman, checking out a XXX video of, quote, the adventures of Bad Mama Jama, unquote. So let no one doubt who is telling the truth in this episode. Let no one doubt that we have a sitting Supreme Court justice who should be in jail for perjury, and he's the one who's upset. 877-4-HEAD-ON. Dave from California, welcome to the Inside Scoop. Oh, we lost Dave. Didn't want to hang on long enough for me to finish my dozen witnesses. Well, Dave, I hope you'll call back. I wanted to go through that long list of, because there really are at least 12 people that I didn't mention the last time I did the show on Tuesday, I think, when it was the fine wine of Clarence Thomas. Let no one doubt who was telling the truth. Two more things I want to talk about. Why don't we take an early break? Because when I come back, I want to talk about John McCain, someone who is one of those Republicans that sometimes actually have some respect for, talking about how America is a Christian nation, and he prefers a Christian as president. Well, John McCain just went down several notches in my book, and I will talk about that when we come back. 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. Right back after this.
This is The Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
America's most dangerous investigative reporter, Greg Palast, joins Bob Kincaid for a bit of conversation radio.
But I have to tell you, this is such a pleasure to be able to actually lay it out.
Greg, anytime you want to lay it out, okay? We're reinventing things here. We call it conversation radio. We're very serious about that. And anytime you've got one of those that's a bit of a Gordian knot, bring it here, please. Because there are people hungry for information and who are willing to, you know, this is not the Fox audience. We actually sit and think about stuff.
I like it. That's why I like this. It's the head-on radio network as opposed to the head-off television
right.
network that we've been suffering with. So I do appreciate your work, and let's set up another time. Take it easy, buddy.
Indeed. Take care, Greg. Thank you so much.
Head-on with Bob Kincaid, weeknights, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head-On Radio Network.
Got a pony dog craving for a fire.
Hi, my name is Aaron, and I'm a survivor of mannequinism. Mannequinism is basically when you turn into a hard plastic shell. They say it's from not being politically active. For me, it started when I didn't register to vote. And then I stopped volunteering, and before I knew it, I wasn't doing anything. And that's when I found the first sign. A small, discolored, hard patch of plastic on my right shoulder. I thought it would go away on its own, but it didn't. It kept spreading. And when I could no longer conceal it with a t-shirt, I knew I had to see the doctor. He said I had this early stage of mannequinism, and that my only hope was to get involved, even if it was something simple. So I began reading the newspaper and instantly got feeling back in my arm. I guess you could say I'm living proof you can fight mannequinism.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
brought to you by the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about various odds and ends today. And if you want to add your odd or your end or discuss anything I've talked about, you're always welcome to join in the conversation radio right here on the Head On Radio Network. Just dial 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. I want to talk about John McCain because John McCain still is probably, well, I don't know about still. I'm kind of mad at him right now. But if you look at the Republicans that exist, you look at the Republican candidates running, you could do worse than John McCain. He disappoints me constantly. Whenever I think he's going to take a principled stand, he'll take a slightly principled stand and then back off. It is true that unlike the other Republican candidates, he's willing to say no torture. Yay! Wow! John McCain is saying that America shouldn't torture people, and all the other Republicans say they should. We should. I hate to say we with that. But then, of course, he has taken stands from time to time. He's never been as courageous as anyone would want him to be. I remember when they had the funeral of one of the young men who rushed the hijackers of the plane that went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, who happened to be a gay man, I believe he was a rugby player, a large, muscular young man who helped other passengers take down the plane. And John McCain attended his funeral but refused to comment on the fact that the guy was gay, and refused to even allow that to be part of the memories of him. So he disappoints me on lots of gay issues, whether it's allowing gay people to serve their country as John McCain did in the military, or of course the right to have their partners treated with the same dignity as straight people do. But this takes the cake. Again, I'm not, McCain is perhaps the best of a bad bunch. I mean, he and Giuliani at least have some decency on social issues, unlike all the rest of them. Giuliani, of course, Mr. 9/11 is still never talked about for the fact that he decided to put the operations center for terrorism in New York back in the same World Trade Center. But I get far afield. Let's talk about what John McCain said recently. He was on BeliefNet.com, which was asking him questions about his religious belief. And what did he say? He said, this is a quote, "I just have to say in all candor that since this nation was founded primarily on Christian principles, personally I prefer someone who I know has a solid grounding in my faith." Now, you know, I would guess to a Christian that people might not even recognize any problems with that statement. But if you know anything about the founders of the United States of America, if you know anything about the people who first came here, whether it be the Puritans or Roger Williams or the Catholics of Maryland or anyone else, there were a large number, including the early Jews in America, who came to the United States of America as a place of religious freedom. And one of our great founders, who, yeah, had slaves and had sex with some of them, but nevertheless, one of the great thinkers, one of the early founders, was, of course, Thomas Jefferson, who was a deist. He's the one who is credited with being the first to say a wall of separation between church and state. He would have argued, Thomas Jefferson, that this nation wasn't founded on Christian principles, but on Enlightenment principles, on principles that all enlightened people can agree with, of whatever faith. And when McCain said, in effect, that he prefers someone Christian, that he would never vote for Joe Lieberman, for example, even though Joe Lieberman agrees with a lot of McCain's Republican values, and again, I'm not defending Joe Lieberman here, except to say that you can be against Joe Lieberman because he's a big supporter of the Iraq War. That's perfectly fine and dandy, and in fact, I endorsed his opponent in the Connecticut race, his Democratic opponent. But it would be wrong to be against him being president simply because he's Jewish. Just as it was wrong for anyone to be opposed to John Kennedy simply because he's Catholic. And for all the weirdness in the Mormon faith, and I'll be the first to say there's a lot of weirdness there, including the fact that the Mormon faith didn't allow African Americans in until, I think, the 1980s. I don't think the reason to vote against Mitt Romney is because he's a Mormon. Unless your faith leads you to try to remake America in your faith's image, unless your faith makes you insist that people who don't agree with you on issues of religion be forced to agree with you, be forced to accept your prayer in their schools, your religious icons, be forced against their will to have things like blue laws, you know, no liquor on Sundays, which doesn't make any sense to someone whose Sabbath is a Saturday or Friday. Unless you're trying to instill your religion as the national religion, then I've got no problem with whatever you believe. If you are a firm believer in whatever religious faith, as long as you don't take it out on me or anybody else that doesn't agree with you, then believe what you want to believe. If you want to believe that Marduk, the god that Hammurabi worshipped in Babylon, created the earth, who am I to say no? I can't prove that you're wrong. Now, if you want to sacrifice little children because your faith tells you to do so, I got real problems with that. My problems, though, aren't with your faith. It's the fact that you want to sacrifice little children. Similarly, on issues like abortion, you can have strong views, pro-life or pro-choice, and that's fine. But please don't justify your views by saying God wants it that way. Justify it based on the fact that you think abortion is murder, or you think that a blastocyst is a bunch of cells that, frankly, aren't of any value compared to a living child who could have his life or her life saved by using those cells. That makes sense, but it's not based on religion. Similarly, if you think that gay people shouldn't get married, I defy you to give me a non-religious reason. Because if you're going to thump the Bible on that, then you're going to have to accept slavery, which is in the Bible, and you're going to have to accept selling women for so many camels and goats, and you're going to have to accept killing people who don't agree with your faith, because that's in the Bible too. And heck, it's not just the Old Testament. Look at the New Testament, where Jesus says, basically, if you hate not your father and hate not your mother, you can't follow me. Not a real good family values guy, at least on that score. My point is this. Instead of asking for someone to be of your faith, ask that someone shares your values. Ask that someone is a good human being. I don't care whether they're atheist or Muslim or Hindu or, as I say, Druidic or Celtic or supporting Marduk. It's fine by me. As long as your values are fine with me. And all John McCain had to say was, I want someone to share my values. Well, he tried to backpedal, but it's just sad. You know, I would have expected this from a Huckabee or a Brownback or, maybe even a Fred Thompson, who I don't have much respect for. I could see Mitt Romney maybe saying this. But John McCain, I'm disappointed. I would never vote for you over a Democrat, John McCain, but I would vote for you over some other Republicans. And yet you really disappoint me here, because it shows me that this is either you're trying to pander, which you should be above, or this is what you truly think, which is even more scary. Only a few minutes left. I want to devote to my last topic, though. If you want to call in, it's 877-4-HEAD-ON. I want to talk about Hillary Clinton and the nation's nostalgia for Bill. New polls have come out showing Hillary is consolidating her position as front runner for the Democratic nomination. She may well go over 50% in some polls. Obama is second, but he's a good 20 points behind. And as I've said on this show before, if I had to vote tomorrow, I would vote for Barack Obama, though I still reserve the right to change my mind. I've got a few more months before the Virginia primary where I get to vote. But I understand. I understand why people like Hillary Clinton, for all the fair comments, and I think there are fair comments from people to her left complaining about her vote to authorize George Bush to go to war as a last resort. Of course, he didn't take it as a last resort. For all her carefulness, for all her support of various corporations, all of which I condemn, Hillary Clinton reminds us, and largely through her husband Bill Clinton, reminds us of what this country was like 10 years ago. At a time when the rich got richer, it's true, but the middle class got richer, and the poor got richer too. At a time when we had so massive surpluses, the government surpluses were so large that Alan Greenspan was wrongly complaining that I don't know where we're going to put the money if we end up paying down the national debt. I don't know. Bill Clinton said, I'll put it into Social Security. And they said, no, 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 no. Don't save Social Security, Bill Clinton. Give it as a tax cut to the super rich. But Social Security was not a problem. Medicare was not a problem. The Democrats were fiscally responsible. War was not a problem. Bill Clinton truly saw war as a last resort. And the only significant war fought under Bill Clinton is one that I supported, one to stop genocide, one in Kosovo. And in that one, with our general, Wesley Clark, a very good man, by the way, who I endorsed for president back in 2004, an intelligent general, one who knew how to fight a war, and we lost not a single American life. Did you know that? We didn't lose a single American life in the whole war in Kosovo. Pretty impressive. And, of course, we stopped the ethnic cleansing. So we had little war. We had a strong economy. We had a president that truly did feel our pain. And everyone made jokes about it. But Bill Clinton was a president of the common man and the common woman. And that takes nothing from him or his intelligence. He was someone who could, you knew, at the bottom of your heart, could sit down and talk with an ordinary citizen and listen and learn. When's the last time, other than Bill Clinton, we've had a president that could do that, that wanted to do that? The kind of guy who would go to town hall meetings, and when his hour or his 2 hours would up, would stay into the night, 2 and 3 a.m., just talking to ordinary Americans. Now, Hillary Clinton's no Bill Clinton. I grant you that. But yes, some of his magic does rub off on her, and I don't begrudge it a bit. I don't begrudge it a bit. He would be an awesome first husband. She, by the way, in terms of raw intelligence, is actually smarter than he is, at least if we go by their grades at Yale Law School. She was first in the class, by the way. Bill Clinton was third. She was first. She's a very intelligent woman. I think she's also learned her mistakes. She could implement a health care proposal that's politically possible. Moves us toward universal health care, but learned the mistake of the 90s. Listen, I may not vote for her in the Democratic primary, but if she wins, and it looks like she's going to, even though not a vote has been cast, I will certainly proudly vote for her in the general election, and I look forward to bringing back some of that Clinton nostalgia. But that's it for today. Tune in next week for more of the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. Signing off.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. In Minneapolis, the judge in the Senator Larry Craig bathroom sexting case has refused to allow the Republican senator to withdraw his guilty misdemeanor plea. Craig's lawyers had argued that he panicked and was rushed into the guilty plea. However, the judge said the plea was accurate, intelligent, and voluntary. Although the Idaho senator had previously said he would resign from the Senate at the end of September, he now indicates he will stay in office until the end of his term. In a written statement, Craig said, quote, "I have seen that it is possible for me to work here effectively," end quote. The latest AP Ipsos poll finds that 31% of those surveyed approve of President Bush's job performance, while 22% approve of how Congress is doing its job. Both of those numbers are record lows for the poll. The House of Representatives passed a bill today that would make private security contractors such as Blackwater subject to prosecution in U.S. courts for incidents that occur overseas. The Senate plans to vote on similar legislation. The White House is denying a secret Justice Department opinion from 2005 that authorized the use of painful physical and psychological tactics against terror suspects. The White House press secretary said, quote, "This country does not torture," end quote. The Washington Post reports that Iraq's president said his country has ordered $100 million worth of weaponry from China because the U.S. is unable to meet Baghdad's needs. The weapons will be used to arm the Iraqi police force. The two leaders of North and South Korea have agreed to come up with a new peace treaty that will replace the 1953 ceasefire. The two countries have also pledged to increase projects that will reduce tensions between them. State media in Myanmar reports that the head of the country's military told a UN envoy that he is willing to meet with the opposition leader. However, she must agree to several conditions first. Those include giving up her calls.